Hello, I'm Rosie Goldsmith, and this is the Commonwealth Writers Podcast, celebrating 10 short story writers from 5 regions of the Commonwealth. We're calling it 10 by 10, which means I've got only 10 minutes to talk to each author. Ivory Kelly is a writer from Belize, and I'm speaking to her from here in London. Ivory is, I think, the mistress of the short form. She writes poetry and she writes prose. Now, Ivory, how important is it to your identity as a writer that you're from Belize?
Okay, so Belize is the one English-speaking country in Central America as a result of our having been a British colony. So English is the official language in Belize, although Belize Creole is the lingua franca.
So in a way, you're promoting Creole and English, a kind of hybrid. What do you think the impact of that is?
So my first language is Belize Creole, and it is the lingua franca of Belize. But however, English is the official language. I learned to read in English, to write in English. And so when I write predominantly in English, in standard English. But because most of my stories so far are set in Belize and involve Creole-speaking characters, when the characters are Creole speakers, Belize Creole speakers, I use Creole in the dialogue. I do that because if the characters are going to be realistic, which they must sound the way we sound. And I definitely want my, if it's a Belizean story, it must feel like Belize. It must sound like Belize. And so in the dialogue, I use a form of Creole that is not true Belize talk. It's not basilectal Creole. It's acrolectal, closer to English than the true Belize Creole. It is a hybrid, if you will, hybrid Creole. And what it is my attempt to celebrate my cultural heritage, to elevate the Creole language to a level on par with English.
How have people reacted to what you're trying to do?
So far, I think it has served me well. One of my students, for example, when I shared one of my stories that I was working on, she emailed me back and she said, "You know, miss, I like the way you use language, but maybe you could have said this way and that way." It was cute. It was really wonderful. And then I explained to her my choice of using the acrolect, and she understood.
How important is this anthology, Pepperpot, which has been produced by Commonwealth writers, in trying to create a kind of Caribbean context for writers like you?
It's extremely important, and I'm very grateful, truly very grateful, for the opportunity to be included in such a wonderful project, because it sort of is the launch of my international debut, if you will. So it is really a wonderful opportunity and a huge motivating force to that, you know, my writing has been acknowledged as having some literary merit, has been judged thus by people whom one can safely assume know what they're talking about, the judges, the folks at Commonwealth and so forth.
When you write, what are the subjects that intrigue you?
Right now, I'm interested in just everyday people and their experiences. I, like most writers, very observant. I like to observe people's behaviors, their foibles, their wonder about their reasons for doing what they do. What causes somebody to murder? What causes one to cheat habitually? So the personal. Most of my recent stories that I'm working on are more personal than political. I'm also very interested in family relationships. The Kite that was published in the Caribbean Quarterly is the story of this young boy. He's a coming-of-age. It's a coming-of-age story. This young boy who, his family is very poor. They live in City River Village, the village that I grew up in. And he is tempted and gives in to the temptation to steal a kite because his father isn't able to buy him one. And so the story deepens into not only the boy's strong desire and the obstacle that poverty, you know, puts in his path, preventing him from being able to get a store-bought kite, but in the process of his father reacting to the boy's theft of a kite, it pricks the father's conscience and helps him to realize that he had been neglecting his son, you know, relationship wise, and so they get to eat together to build a kite. And in the process of building this kite, the father and son start to bond. But the personal issues, things that impact us at a visceral, emotional level, I'm interested in the works that I'm working on right now.
Do writers in Belize have a political and social responsibility in their writing? And do you feel you have that responsibility?
You know, in Belize, we tend to still hold certain issues as taboo. We're a lot more vocal now than we were, say, 30 or so years ago. But I think that there's still a lot of conversation that needs to be had. I try to raise those questions as often as I can as a teacher. I teach at the University of Belize. But certainly as a writer, I use that platform to raise those issues, because it is only in acknowledging our problems and our shortcomings that we start to mend them, that we start to improve the situation.
You write a lot in the short form. What is the attraction of the short form for you?
It distills, I think, the experience of the story. The short story, for me, it allows me to really concentrate on one event, one moment in time, and to give it depth, to really give the character depth and to stay on that one character, that one situation. It also, it lends itself to, the novel does lend itself to poetry too, but because the short story is so condensed, you really have to craft very carefully and make sure, you know, your images are particularly sharp. Whereas a novel is like, say, a steak dinner. You know, you just want that one thing, a whole half a pound of, you know, great steak and your favorite sauce and all of that. That's what you're in the mood for, and you're going to have a good long sit down and, you know, you dine at leisure, and that's great. But sometimes you want a buffet or a combo plate. I love combo plates. And so a collection of short stories like a combo plate.
Well, Ivory Kelly, let's have a morsel from one of your short stories in the Pepper Pot anthology.
Okay, so I'm going to read a short excerpt from my Pepper Pot short story, This Thing We Call Love. Even though I was only 10 years old, I could see why women loved Raymond so much. Raymond was tall and muscular with smooth black skin, and he had neatly kept dreadlocks that reached down to his waist. Once, when my Aunt Debbie was at our house, I heard her say that Raymond was a handsome mandingo. Later that evening, Raymond was walking past our house as my mother was plaiting my hair on the veranda, and, talking partly to myself and partly to my mother, I said, that Raymond is one handsome mandingo. I heard the sound even before I felt it, a dull clop as my mother cuffed me in the head with the back of the comb. The thing I couldn't figure out, though, was why Raymond's wife loved him so much. Miss Pauline was my mother's best friend, and she came to visit my mother almost every day. Each time she came, she lamented how badly Raymond treated her and about the many sweethearts he had. I suppose it was because of Miss Pauline and Raymond that I became curious about man and woman business. One Friday evening, I was studying my spelling words on the veranda when Miss Pauline came bustling toward our house. Her eyes looked wild, and her bushy half-Spanish hair swung violently from side to side. her fleshy hips miraculously squeezed into a pair of yellow polyester shorts